Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I am so glad that we are here together as we continue walking our Lenten road, as we continue on this 40-day path of contemplation, of remembrance, of celebrating God's love for us regardless. I'm glad that you're here today, whether you're here with us in church or you're joining us online. It is good for us to be together in worship. There are Sunday school bags in the very back, so if there are children here or if there will be children visiting you, I hope that they will get a Sunday school bag, because each one of them contains just a little snippet of how much it is that God really truly loves them. Also, a reminder that we do have Sunday school class in between, you know, after this service in between. For adults, it's in the parlor, and for the children, it's upstairs in the education wing. This coming Wednesday evening is our final midweek Lenten service. If you have been joining on this trip, you know that we begin at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings, and so you are invited. If you have not been, it's still a chance. We have been looking at how the church has used scripture to help us learn to pray while we're in worship. And so it has been a delightful time together. You're invited to join us this coming Wednesday evening, 7 p.m., for our final midweek Lent service. At our 10:30 worship this morning, we are going to welcome into God's family and into our congregational family Leonard Tyler Martin through holy baptism. I ask that you would pray for little Leo and his family. It will be a wonderful time for all of us, and we rejoice in God's goodness. This coming Friday evening, April 8th, the churches of Sydney are coming together to pray for peace. After 2 years of the pandemic, with people all around us suffering from mental distress, with aches in our heart and a war in Ukraine, peace is something that this world needs so desperately. The service begins at 7 p.m. at First Presbyterian Church on Miami Street. They asked me if I would be the MC. Never been an MC at a worship service, but we'll see what that looks like, all right? But we are coming together for a time of scripture, of song, of prayer, to be together with our sisters and brothers in Christ. And so please, if you are able, join us 7 p.m. this coming Friday evening, April 8th, at the First Presbyterian Church right here in Sydney. We've joined this morning to be in worship. So let us begin that worship by joining together in our gathering song, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Let us rise and sing together.
I want to see you. I want.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We join in our Lenten Kyrie. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God,
have mercy on me, sinners.
Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth,
set up your kingdom in our midst.
Holy Spirit, breath of the living God,
renew me in all the world.
Let us pray. Creator God, you prepare a new way in the wilderness, and your grace waters our desert. Open our hearts to be transformed by the new thing you are doing, that our lives may proclaim the extravagance of your love given to all. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first lesson is from Isaiah 43, verses 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people who I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 4b through 14. Paul writes, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached this goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John in the 12th chapter. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of our Lord. The congregation may be seated. I would love to invite the children to come on forward. Morning. Morning, morning, morning. Morning. And how are you this morning? Okay, how are you this morning? All right, good, 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 good. Okay, now, when your family comes up to get communion, right? I don't give you the bread and the wine yet. What do I do for you? I make a little sign of the cross on your head when I bless you, right? There we go. I make a sign of the cross right on your forehead. And I say something like, "May the light of Christ shine in your life," or "May the love of Jesus fill your heart," or something like that, okay? So, there we are. You were with us on Ash Wednesday, weren't you? Yeah, we said this thing, and then what did I rub on your forehead that time? Ashes from palm branches smudged your forehead good, but it was in the shape of a cross. So I do a cross on your forehead if I'm blessing you for communion. We did a ash cross on your forehead when, but it all starts right here. You see, at 10:30, we're going to do a baptism for another little baby. And part of that baptism is when I take oil here and rub it on the baby's forehead in the shape of a cross. I say, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Because, you see, that way you feel it, and it feels different than just my finger, because there's oil, and you can smell it, and it's your whole body, and you are then marked. So I remember that mark when I bless you at communion. I remember that mark when we do ashes on Ash Wednesday. We remember that mark anytime we want to, because we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with that cross of Christ forever. You may be able to wash off the oil. You may be able to wash off the ashes. But you'll never be able to scrub off the love of God in Christ our Lord that cross symbolizes for all of us. You are marked with Christ's cross forever. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your life. We thank you for your death, and we thank you for your resurrection. We thank you for coming and touching our lives with the love and the power of your cross. Help us to share that love and help us to live as your followers. We thank you for today, Lord. Amen. Have a great day, everybody. May God bless us all as we continue to walk this Lenten road together. Amen. For the last few weeks, Jesus has been trying to teach the disciples, the Pharisees and the scribes, the tax collectors and the sinners, even you and me, about God's grace. Jesus has compared the goodness of God's grace to the harsh judgments that come from the devil, the world, and our sinful selves. Jesus reminds us that God is not the cause of tragedy as punishment. God is not looking forward to cutting down or to leaving us lost in our own mistakes. Instead, Jesus tells us that God is gracious and merciful, gentle and kind, forgiving us, and walking beside us as we try to share his love and care for our neighbors. God's grace and forgiveness is a blessing for us all, and it comes to us all unconditionally. We'll never deserve it because we can't. By the gift of God in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, we are forgiven, reconciled, redeemed. And then we are sent into the world to share that same love and grace, to bear that same fruit in the lives that we share with one another. Since we are loved, since we are cared for, since we are forgiven, since we are comforted, we are then called to love and care for, to forgive and comfort neighbors and strangers, family and friends, even our enemies. It's not that we've got to. It's not that this is the single most important thing that we must do in order to earn God's favor. It's that we get to do this. And today's gospel story shows us just how some of that love and care that we can do can look. In today's gospel story, we are at dinner with Jesus, the disciples, his close friends, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. This dinner was a way for Lazarus and his sisters to begin to show their gratitude for all that Jesus has meant for them and all that he has done for them. Lazarus is there because of Jesus. It's what happens at that dinner party. What happens with Mary and with Judas and with all of us. It's what happens with perfume and a call to help the poor that helps us to contemplate the extravagant care that God shows to us. And then the extravagant care that we are called to show one another. But first, Margie's best friend in the world was Betty. They had grown up together. They had both raised families. They both attended the church of their childhood and still loved going. These two would be sure to spend at least one entire day together every month doing something fun, whether it was a day trip or whether it was lunch at some fancy restaurant or just the fun of spending a rainy day over coffee and conversation. The difficulties arose when Betty was diagnosed with cancer. Margie stood by her friend's side through radiation and chemotherapy. They still tried to spend their day together. It was the trips were a lot shorter. The time they got to spend was a lot shorter. Margie had stayed with Betty, and they had wept together when it was finally decided to stop all the treatments. That was when Margie decided that instead of a day trip, she was going to make a meal for her and Betty and their husbands. It would be as extravagant a meal as she could arrange. Linens on the table, flowers, wine, filet mignon, Yorkshire pudding, dessert, all the trimmings. Betty's favorite vegetable was artichoke, and it would be there with all the melted butter you could possibly want. It was a beautiful evening, shared with people who loved and cared for each other. Cheryl's life had changed in the last few years. Her children were grown, off in the world and succeeding. Her marriage was over. She had finally found the courage to step away from the abuse. She was beginning to discover a new appreciation of the love of God in her life. She loved the time she got to spend at church and the time that she got to spend helping people. The last time her congregation was gathering food for the local food pantry, she had gone to the store and gone a little crazy. She had bought all kinds of food, good food, the stuff that she would buy for herself and for her family. She doubled her usual monthly food budget in that one trip for all of those people. It felt extravagant to her, but good. And when she brought it all in, she knew that many families were going to be able to eat because not only her gifts, but the gifts of everyone in the congregation. And she knew that it would still never really be enough. Food for the sake of a few or for the sake of many. Extravagant care for the sake of one or for the sake of many. That's a part of what the discussion we have about today's gospel story is all about. Mary comes to Jesus with a pound of costly perfume and in gratitude anoints his feet with the perfume and wipes them with her hair. What an amazing gift of thanks. What an extravagant way to share her love and her gratitude. Overwhelmed by the power of God's love through Jesus, Mary overwhelms the room with the fragrance of her gift to Jesus. Judas then speaks up and wonders why Jesus would allow a pound of costly perfume to be wasted on his feet when they could have sold it for a whole year's salary and used that for the poor. There are lots of poor people who need help. More poor people than Jesus has toes, so why not use it for them? It does seem a valid question. But then would it have been better for Margie to buy food for more people like Cheryl did? Would it have been better for Cheryl to buy food for just one family only? Which would be better? And does Jesus have an opinion? Yes, he does. Jesus wants us to live our love. That's his opinion. Jesus praised Mary not because she spent a lot on the gift, but because what she did was in love and gratitude. Jesus praises Judas's concern for the poor, reminding him that there will always be poor who need our assistance, always, and it's good to keep them in mind. Jesus would have praised Margie for the love she showed to her friend. He would have praised Cheryl for trying to help those poor who are always around. Question becomes, is it the anointing that's important or the help for the poor? And they are both important if they are motivated in love. If you're pouring out perfume just to make an impression, it's wasted. If you are helping the poor so that you can look good to someone else or get a tax deduction, you've already gotten everything that you're going to get. For Jesus, it is the love That's important. Jesus brings to our lives the love that comes only from God. He pours that love out on us extravagantly and then sends us out so that we can share that love with others. It's like the discovery that Paul makes in Philippians today. Who we are, what we have done, the accolades that we have won, the degrees that we have achieved, all of that may look great to the world around us. But when it comes to what is really important, they can be rubbish. If you have a pound of perfume or the money it would cost to buy that pound of perfume, that might be impressive to some people. How are you going to share God's love with your entire life is really what's important. For Paul, knowing Jesus Christ our Lord, knowing the love of God that comes to us in His death and resurrection, that is of surpassing value. We could lose everything else and just still discover that we have enough. We could share everything else and discover that we still have enough to share even more. Paul wants to know Christ and the power of His resurrection for our lives, because knowing that will be sufficient. Jesus is sharing this meal with His friends. Jesus is surprised as anyone by the extravagant gift that Mary shares in love and gratitude. Jesus is touched by the depth of that love. Now, He also understands Judas's concern, but He will not repudiate the gift given in love. In fact, He reminds Judas and all of us that we should be less concerned with someone else's extravagant care and discover ways that we can help or join in the real help that is happening all around us. Jesus is calling us all not to pour perfume on feet, but to discover what is the way for you to love today. To discover the way to press on for the goal of sharing God's love with those we can today. Jesus is inspiring us to care for each other extravagantly. As those who have been loved by God, who have received grace upon grace, who are recipients of radical forgiveness, we should then fill the world around us with the same love and extravagant care that comes so freely to us. Power of God's love comes to us all today. May we discover the most appropriate way to care for our neighbors and strangers, for family, friends, even enemies, as extravagantly as we can. May we discover ways to know Christ in our lives, follow Christ with our lives, and fill the world with the aroma of Christ's love. This is our calling and our goal as God's children. Amen. On Ash Wednesday, we began a confession of sins that continues until Maundy Thursday. I invite you to rise as we continue that Lenten confession. Holy God, we come before You with humble hearts, confessing our sins. We have chased all the vanities of the world and have wandered from our heart's true home. And forgetful of You, the living God, we have burned the incense of the soul before false gods that cannot deliver. Deal not with us as we deserve, but pardon our foolish and perverse ways. Of Your clemency, wash us clean from all sin, for no adversity shall harm us if no wickedness has dominion over us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we walk this Lenten road, let us glory in the promises that God has made. Let us trust in the presence of the Lord and walk into this week without fear. Drawn close to the heart of God, we offer these prayers for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Do a new thing in the church. Free us from paradigms that no longer serve the gospel and bring forward leaders who imagine fresh ways of doing ministry. Give us courage in the face of change. Lord, in Your mercy, do a new thing in our world. Break barriers that prevent political enemies from working together for the well-being of all. Make a way of peace and collaboration among the nations. Lord, in Your mercy, O God of peace and mercy, as war rages in your good creation, we pray that an end to this conflict comes quickly. We pray that the people of Ukraine, their families, and their children be spared the horrors of war. You are the God who brings peace. Calm our fears and help us to work towards your peace as your hands in the world. Help all your children to be the people who create safe spaces, who provide healing and comfort, and who offer hope to all. We ask that the leaders of the nations be touched by your wisdom and bring them to work for peace. Lord, in your mercy, do a new thing for those who suffer. Reveal a path for any who are unemployed or underemployed, for those who are experiencing homelessness, and for all who struggle with money. Comfort those who grieve and restore those who are sick. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we also ask for those who need your healing presence. Bless all who suffer illness and disease, who struggle with injury and accident. We pray especially for Rob and Kim, John and Kathy. May the healing presence of Christ rest upon them and all. Lord, in your mercy, do a new thing within us. Direct us into encounters that broaden our understanding of the human experience. Amplify voices that are ignored or devalued. Deliver us especially from the scourge of racism. Lord, in your mercy. Triune God, in whose name we are all baptized, be with all your children washed with water and the word. We pray especially for Leonard, Tyler, and all your baptized children gathered here, that your love may bind us and your courage would send us to build your kingdom in love. Lord, in your mercy, do a new thing in our death. Fill us with the knowledge of Christ and the power of his resurrection as we give thanks for all the saints who have attained the prize of their heavenly call. We remember especially John. Lord, in your mercy, accept the prayers we bring, O God, on behalf of a world in need, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the God of grace and glory go with you as you follow this Lenten path, wherever it takes you, and to whomever it takes you. May you go with the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you go into the world with hope,
to make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.